The Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the NBA.
Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Space Jam. Here's your chance, do your dance at the Space Jam. All right.
I guess we're at the dance right now. We're getting very close to the playoffs are about to start. So, getting ready to have, if you've got multiple TV screens, to have the playoffs on while we're getting ready.
I thought you were going to say we're getting ready for the new Space Jam movie. Then I was like, "What the hell are you talking about?"
Great, like anyway. Honestly, really, we're going to kick it off with. I guess we sort of asked for that with, you know, the original Space Jam here by Quad City DJs, but. You know what? This was a really, really good soundtrack. I have no idea what the new Space Jam soundtrack is going to be. If it's all going to be, you know, this is like old man talk here, but if it's all going to be like new, you know, new rap, new sort of that's going to be junk. Sorry, everybody. Like,
just I'll probably have that
sounding old, but that is going to be trash.
I'll probably have that song there just because, I don't know, I think because it literally says the word Space Jam. So
yeah, but that's me whether or not they want to try and distance themselves from the old one apart from the title. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't see how you can, you know, it's Looney Tunes. So do you know what I mean? You can't distance yourself too much from it, but I'm sure that they'll want to make, you know, their own sort of stamp with what the movie's about. I've not seen the trailer. I don't know if you've seen the trailer or anything for it. I don't know what the story is, what it's going to be. Yeah. Is it the Monstars again? Like, I don't know.
I won't spoil it for you. What's the trailer?
I don't care. I don't think I'm going to watch one single solitary second of it.
I'm still trying to work.
Is AD one of the Monstars? Of course he is, isn't he?
Yes.
LeBron. Can't win no title without him.
I'm saying somehow Chris Rock's in it, but anyway, hello everyone.
The hell?
Welcome to the Final Play podcast. May as well kick
it
off.
That's still not going to pique my interest.
No. There's going to have to be some other serious comedians, but anyway. Yeah, it's
Bill Murray.
It's a weird trailer. If Bill Murray's on it, I'm not watching it. If Larry Bird's on it, I'm not watching it. We thought I'd kick it off with just sort of, you know, I guess like Miles said, ending up at the tail end of the season. So just a couple of teams that finished pretty hot. I guess one in particular to sort of get into that play-in area, and that was the Washington Wizards.
Man, they finished the season on just an absolute tear. So we'll say 5 weeks ago, they were given a 4% chance of making the playoffs. And they have just been one of the hottest teams in the league, you know, obviously powered by Bradley, you know, the backcourt. I guess the backcourt, which that they wanted, not so much that they wanted, but this is the play that they wanted. This backcourt play from Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal. Yeah, Bradley Beal only narrowly missed out on the scoring title from Steph Curry. But they won 17 of their last 23, Washington.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable for a team that started off just rotten to start the season.
Absolutely right.
You know, and that's, I mean, see, they didn't need no play in to dance around and go, oh, hey, look at us, we might be able to make the playoffs. If the playoffs were legitimate and the 8 seed gets in and that's it, they make it.
They make it. Yeah.
No need to pussyfoot around and say, oh, hey, Indiana, hey, Charlotte, you can have a little token shot at getting into the playoffs. No, they made it.
You did mention Bradley Beal, but it was on. I mean, Russell Westbrook just decided to go.
Just been his statistical season. Like I don't know. Like there's the narrative out there that we're over Russell Westbrook. I am not really over Russell Westbrook. I think what he does is just It's ridiculous. Like he just gives you 100% every single game. He doesn't cheat the fans. He plays as much as possible. You don't hear any of this BS of load management or anything. He's still one of the most explosive players out there, whether it's speed, whether it's I'm going to put you on a poster. He just gives you 100% of his being every game. It's unbelievable.
So on the back of that point, I don't get why people say that, because to me,
it's another season he's averaged a triple-double. People just like, we're not impressed by that anymore.
And 22 points, 11.5 rebounds, and 11.7 assists. But I was going to say, sorry.
He led the league in assists.
I was going to say, he cares. He actually cares. Does. That is that. So that I don't get why people are open.
And
there's nothing wrong with that.
No, of course not. No.
I don't get the hate. The hate really to me is always, it's not hate, but dislike has always played to me gone from that MVP when he got that MVP. It seems to be stemmed from that.
He's deserving of it. Like it, you know, everybody wants that. James Harden when he won the MVP. It's just like, you're not stealing MVPs off LeBron. Like it's how valuable you are to your team. And yes, LeBron is. If it's going to be like that, then you may as well at the start of the season, after game one or game five, just hand the trophy to LeBron, because he's always going to be, or most likely going to be, the most valuable player on that team every time. I think that's where the hate, and that's where the comparisons come in of, do you know what I mean, between him and MJ. It's just bizarre. Like, everybody wants to hate on LeBron, but he's always, or thereabouts, always the best player during the season.
That is the difference. That is the actual difference. That to me is and that's why it's called the most valuable player. Not the most valuable.
I always go off, and you know, it's sort of not so much a stolen narrative, but I happen to agree with the narrative that you take that person off that team, what do they look like?
I agree.
That's why they always that's usually why they'll never give an MVP to a team that's, you know, maybe around the 500 or less.
Or the other way,
which I don't get either. It shouldn't matter, because if you're a struggling team and you've got this person that's playing out of their mind, then you take that person off that team, they're going to be even worse.
Or the other way, like of a team, of a player, and I'm talking about Jokic here. When they lost Murray, he put the team on his back. And that, to me, is the most valuable player. They didn't regress.
They haven't faltered at all. Look, technically, Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. has, over probably the last third of the season, has really started to put up numbers.
Throw in, if you could make the argument, and he won't get it, and he's not, you know, he's not one of the finalists, but throw in Zion. You take Zion out of that side, and that your side is absolutely terrible. Just how good of a season he had, and his
there was this rubbish out there that he was in contention for most improved player. It's like, well, no, not really. His numbers got a little better this year, but there's nothing in comparison to the guys that were actually in the running for most improved player, because he didn't really improve the team a whole lot.
It's possible he could be a sneaky chance to make the third All-NBA team. Whoa, I don't know if he will, but it'd be sneaky. I wouldn't rule it out. If you want to go in position.
What's it, 9 forward spots?
Well, I'm not ruling it out, but I mean, we're going off track here. But Washington finished strong. The other team that finished strong was Miami Heat. And
110 of their last 13. Like, this is the Heat that everybody has been clamoring for all year. You know, they've been hurt. They've had serious COVID protocols being placed on them where people have been out. Now they're actually starting to find a little bit of a groove, and they fought and clawed to try and get out of that play-in situation. And they got themselves to the sixth spot where they essentially have a guaranteed spot in the playoffs.
The one thing I liked about the Heat running home strong wasn't just Jimmy Butler that helped that team. It was Bam Adebayo, just to sort of collecting.
Oh, absolutely. And they also need contributions from, you know, Goran Dragic and the younger guys on the team, Kendrick Nunn, Tyler Hero, guys like that have got to have their fingerprints on Miami wins as well, especially going into the playoffs, because this will be, I guess, will be a bit of a different beast this year when it comes to playoffs, because they're obviously they're not in Orlando, and you know, all in the one area. There's actually going to be travel and not 2 feet in a heartbeat to get to the arena to play the game. It's going to be actual travel. We have to get on a plane or get on a bus to go to another city to play. There's going to be fans in the stands, so back to normal. But I think because them playing this year most of the year with limited to no fans in the arenas, it's gonna be different.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. The other team I was going to mention, and they finished strong enough, but I feel like ever since the All-Star break, they've been flexing their muscles just to prove a point, and that's the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
I
think they were not so much inconsistent, but yes. They're trying to correct the mistakes of last year, and I think they were trying, especially towards the end of the year, like you can't replicate playoff basketball, but they're trying to do that with the way that they play. Drew Holiday has made them exponentially better. The pickup of PJ Tucker. Yeah, just guys like that.
Dante DiVincenzo
has come along in leaps and bounds this year. He's been really good.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's played a lot of minutes in that guard position, or he had to. But yeah, he's come along in leaps and bounds.
Yeah, so, that's right.
Obviously Washington had to finish strong to make the play-in tournament. Do we want to quickly touch on that nice little play-in tournament? Not so much what we think about it, because we know what we both think about it. I'm talking about at the end of the day, it all balanced out. There wasn't no conjecture. There wasn't no, the 10th place got through or anything silly like that.
And that was the thing. Like, the 10th place in both conferences was Charlotte and San Antonio. They both got bounced.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess there's not really a whole lot to say there. Like Charlotte got blasted by Indiana in that 9-10 playoff game. That wasn't even a contest.
No.
I don't know whether Charlotte wanted to be there. Indiana sure wanted to be there. I don't know. They just didn't seem focused. It was just they just got railroaded.
It seemed like that. I wouldn't say they were tanking, but they were looking for that lottery spot. It felt a little bit like that.
In this position, like you're in 10th position, you're not going to get a whole lot of chop when it comes to the lottery. You're going to be outside the top 10.
See, how does that? I don't think we even looked at that, but wonder how if it hasn't ever worked out like that going off these games again. But it'd be interesting. So let's say Charlotte would have won and then come through, right? And they would have came to 8th, I guess. Does that mean that that's where they finished?
I'm to the understanding of that's how it would happen. So it would be
season.
I think whoever the higher seed is that gets bounced will be, I guess, they take over that spot of the team that would replace them. So
there's little things like that.
It's draft ramifications as well.
And the other side, it was a fun game between the Lakers and the Warriors, even though obviously the Lakers won, but that was just a fun game to watch. I don't know. I just felt fun.
Yeah, that 7-8 game.
Yeah.
I guess it was sort of not so much for everything, but do you know what I mean? Like there's a lot riding on that game. To try and basically secure yourself the 7th spot. And the other thing is too, like, it was other teams at the top of the standings in the West scrambling towards the end of the year to maybe watch and go, do we want to finish second? Do we want to finish third? Like who do we want to play as the lower seed? And I think there was a lot of
the Lakers. That's what it came down.
I think there was a lot of teams scrambling because I think there was a little bit of, you know, so-called tanking towards the end, to the last couple of games of that season, especially when it comes to, I think it was Denver and the Clippers. Who definitely wanted to avoid LA in the first round.
Oh God, I hope they get bounced by Dallas in this first round. The one team that didn't, I guess, change the way they play and finish first and finish well without Donovan Mitchell was the Utah Jazz. 52-20.
Utah just. They just kept streaming along. Like they were getting contributions from a lot of different people. Obviously, Jordan Clarkson was a massive star. He naturally just fits straight into that Donovan Mitchell role where it's just a straight up scorer. And you know you're giving him the ball a lot, and he's got the license to blaze away. I think Joe Ingles. I think he did well. Towards the end of the season with Mitchell out. What did Mitchell miss? The last 15, 16 more games of the season? So
I think he's
a very important cog for them going forward.
Well, for both those guys you mentioned, they both end up getting nominated, you know, for Sixth Man of the Year.
How does that happen? Two off the same team.
I don't get it. But the Utah Jazz, I think, won without Donovan Mitchell because we said this 2 years ago. We both said this 2 years ago. The Utah Jazz are going to be good because they had the depth, and now it's starting to come through. We said this 2 years ago when they got Conley, and then now it didn't work out last year because
Conley in the playoffs was he was awesome.
This year has proved that they are deep. They are really deep. So they you know 52-20 without Mitchell. Like you said, Clarkson went straight into Mitchell's position and. You know, Gobert, you know, again, I don't get the conjecture against Gobert. He's a great defender. He's not called
Stifle Tower for no reason, but it's going to be how teams will figure out to take him out of games towards the end of playoff games when he's a below average free throw shooter.
Well, this is true.
They get in pick and roll situations where, especially in the West, where you've got bigger guys that can make the outside shot, and then you've got to make him. Then you draw him away from the paint, and then you can start to attack from then. So I think that's what the formula was for them for their demise last year was them trying to figure out on the run. How to sort of stop those pick and roll situations where bigger guys that can make the three get into that role and basically it just nullifies what Rudy Gobert can do.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
He's not a good perimeter defender. Yes, he's long. Yes, he's got long levers and he's fairly quick laterally, but. He's still beatable, and if you can make the outside jump shot, he's just not a good jump shot defender.
Well, they'll face the Grizzlies in that round one, because they end up getting through and beating the Warriors for that eighth position. So
that play-in game between the Grizzlies and the Warriors, oh man, that was Curry versus the world. Draymond Green had a chance to win. That game simply because of Stephen Curry.
Yeah.
He had a wide open lane.
Yeah.
And gets to the restricted zone and the ball almost hits the shot clock. It was unbelievable. It was the commentators actually said in there, it looks like he wanted to do was pass. I think that's all. And then all of a sudden he's realized that the Red Sea is parted and it's like, oh, hang on a minute. I've got open here, and then boom, there it goes, and almost bounces off Tissot.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable game.
Off to his right is Andrew Wiggins there, and granted, there's not a whole lot of time. There was only about 3 or so seconds left. That is plenty to be able to get a nice handoff. Andrew Wiggins was there. Nice, easy layup. Game's over. instead of going into overtime.
Instead of, yeah, exactly, yeah.
And Morant was massive.
Ja Morant was massive.
Dylan Brooks was massive.
Dylan Brooks has come leaps. He's another player has come leaps. Dylan Brooks is fire. I really like Dylan Brooks.
He could have been a Smokey for most improved.
He could have been a Smokey for most improved. But, I mean, Steph Curry towards the end, like he put himself into the finalists MVP purely. But his, you know, we talked about a few other players, but goddamn, he finished strong.
Just his season was ridiculous, and everybody wants to boohoo about the greats of the game. They'll get you into the playoffs, and look at what LeBron did early in his career. He took a bunch of nobodies to the playoffs: Anderson Varejao, and you know, Mo Williams and Delonte West and you know, Zydrunas Ilgauskas, people like that. It's even the comparison. That's what 14 years ago, 15 years ago. The comparison to the game now is totally different. And that's another thing. Like just real quick, everybody wants to have a big whinge about, oh, Zion, he's got to be the man. He's got to leave New Orleans to the playoffs. Yeah, sounds a little bit like Nutty Professor there. But did you know what I mean? Like LeBron didn't make the playoffs his first three seasons with Cleveland.
Yeah.
What's the big boohoo?
I don't understand.
They want to have this conversation that Zion he just has to be the man. That he's not as refined as what LeBron was this early in his career. Zion is very one dimensional. Very one dimensional.
Yes, he is, and he'll get better. But his.
But the scene. This is Zion's second year. He hardly played last year. 22 games or whatever it was last year. This is his full season. Everyone, he should be carrying New Orleans to the playoffs. LeBron didn't carry the Cavs to the playoffs in his first couple of seasons. So let's just settle down with that. Like, the expectations are too high.
Well, he was expected LeBron to carry him to the playoffs. He didn't carry him to the playoffs. But, yeah, I agree. I don't think you need to put that unnecessary pressure on Zion. Zion...
It's just frustrating, like, you know, the amount of news that I read about it, just because that's who I follow.
He's turning into Shaq. Like he's extremely unstoppable.
He is. He's a 6'7" Shaq.
Literally a 6'7" Shaq. It's absolutely ridiculous.
He's got such nice touch and finesse around the hoop.
Yeah, it does.
He's got explosive hops, like, but just the soft touch. You don't shoot, you know, whatever the hell he shot, 73%, you know, inside the paint for no reason. You've got to be able to have that soft touch to be able to lay it in. Because you're not going to be able to dunk on everybody at his size.
No, but he also finished 61% field goal percentage too, so that's pretty goddamn good. So.
No, that's right, exactly. Like, you know, he was right up there in field goal percentage, but just inside the painted area, just inside the paint, his field goal percentage was phenomenal.
Just before we move on, just Steph's only got about what are we looking at here? 100 and I'm sure he'll catch him, but he's got 141 more threes to make to 144 threes to make to surpass Ray Allen in.
Yeah, he'll get that done. What, halfway through next year? He made another 300 triples this year, like, which is just unprecedented. I think he's had three seasons where he's made 300 plus triples, and nobody else has ever had one.
And it's also his percentage as well. Like, his percentage what's that? 43%.
That's ridiculous. But that's the thing. That's before I sort of got on my Zion rant. It's the narrative out there that Steph. Oh, you know, he's never going to be talked about. He's going to be talked about as an influential player in the game, as in, you know, the way that the game has changed, shooting the three rather than the two. But he'll never be regarded as possibly one of the great. He's the greatest shooter that the game has ever seen, ever.
Ever.
And we've seen Ray Allen, we've seen Reggie Miller, we've seen those guys, and he far surpasses.
I'd even throw Kyle Korver in there, like, you know, and he surpasses him.
Kyle Korver's still running around. There's plenty of them out there. Guys that are 2,000 plus three-pointers in their career.
Jason Terry.
Jason Terry's up there. I think Jason Kidd is he's right up there. He evolved his game, but yeah. He's right up there in 3-point makes. Yeah. But it's just the narrative that it's, oh, you know, he doesn't have his running mate, Klay Thompson, so, you know, they're basically not going to go anywhere. That's the league now. Why is everybody complaining about that? Nobody can win in this league right now as a solo act. It is impossible.
And this is why you're right.
Why do you think people are gagging to team up with each other? Because you cannot win as a solo act. Look at what James Harden tried to do for so many years in Houston.
This is why I don't know why, and they should probably do it with this next pick. I don't know why they didn't trade that pick for a star. They could have traded that number two pick. I know there's future ramifications and everything like that, but
yeah, you're right. The options were out there. Maybe they didn't get what they thought they deserved, you know, for compensation for that number two
pick. It's possible, but I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with him, but his window is closing, really, at the end of the day.
And that's the shitty thing is not so much the window is closing, but yes, that's closing, and I think he's the oldest guy since Jordan to win the scoring title at, you know, 32 or whatever it is. I think MJ won it. Must have been the 96 season that he won the scoring title and he was 32, because I'm pretty sure it was 34 in the last dance. So that was 98. So that'd be about right. So, you know, Curry winning the scoring title, being the oldest guy since MJ to win that scoring title. But it's, the window is closing, yes. Draymond Green, I think, over the last 2 years has declined rapidly.
And I think that may have
a little bit to do with, I guess, not so much the teammates that he had, because, you know, obviously Kevin Durant made it everybody, you know, that team just, you know, an indestructible juggernaut. But injury.
Yeah.
He was hurt. Klay Thompson has missed this whole season. So I just get out of here with all this nonsense of, oh, the great players would have carried their team to the playoffs. Guess what? If we didn't have this playing garbage, he would have made the playoffs. They finished eighth.
Yeah, they would. That's exactly right. They would have made the playoffs. Yeah. No, I agree. No, you need. Well, we all know. I mean, LeBron, they all know. You need start. You can't just do it all by yourself. You can't. It's impossible. It is. It's the way it is,
you know,
now.
They basically had their play-in game a week before the regular season finished, and they blasted the piss out of Memphis.
Mm. Mm.
Do it then. Yes, it is. Don't, if you're Memphis, don't wait until, we've got all the pressure on us, one shot. You know, with everything to try, you know, obviously, they beat San Antonio in their play-in game, which, you know, San Antonio didn't deserve to be anywhere near that.
No,
way.
No.
That was six, five games?
Yeah. I know this is why we don't like it, but this is...
Just be better.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Can't be 33 and 39 and even have a sliver of a chance that you'll get hot in one game or two games and knock out teams that have been more consistent and that have won more throughout the regular season. It's rubbish.
But I see on the flip, this is the only reason I like to play in on the flip side. So if you look at the Western Conference, the Grizzlies finished 38 and 34, right? That's good for seventh place in the Eastern Conference.
But the thing is, though, in previous years, four games or five games above 500, you would have been pushing for a top four spot. So the East is getting a little stronger.
It is. I'm not saying it isn't.
It's all going to work out in the wash. Honestly, it's all going to work out in the wash.
It will eventually.
So what happens when the ascendancy goes the other way and the Eastern Conference is stronger?
Well, that's exactly right. No, I agree. I'm just saying, I'm just making a point that, I get the point of the Spurs. I definitely get the point of 33, 39. They should have been, you know, they finished losing their last four. They shouldn't have been nowhere near it. But this is the way it is. The reason I said seventh in the East, because I wanted to talk about the Celtics. even though they finished 500, didn't they? It's like a tale of two tapes for two of their superstar players.
Man, they have been one of the most inconsistent teams, I think, this year. They've been hot, they've been cold, they've been hot, they've been cold. They'll make you believe, then they'll just fall off a cliff, and you'll be like, good God, like, yeah, we 2 weeks ago we were talking about them as one of the better teams, and look at what Jason Tatum's doing, and Jason Tatum has been fantastic this year. Mm-hmm. You know, he had a 60-point game against the Spurs that they were down by as many as 32 points against the Spurs.
Yeah.
And they came back and won the game. Now, here's a little something for you before we sort of carry on. I did want to get to this. So, 60-point games in the NBA. Larry Legend, Larry Bird, owns the franchise record for the Boston Celtics at 60. So, Jason Tatum ties Larry Legend for, you know, the franchise record at the Boston Celtics. No mean feat. A very rich historical club. We had this little game before. You'd be surprised how many 60-point games there has been in the NBA or in NBA history. So you guessed, you know, between 60 and 70. I went way lower than that. I didn't even think there was going to be 50 60-point games in NBA history. There has been 75 60 or more plus points in an NBA regular season game. 24 of those have been since the year 2000, so in the last 21 years. There's been three this year. So Bradley Beal and Steph Curry have also scored 60 this year.
How many did you say? Sorry, 24 since 2000 and 75.
24 since 2000.
And 75 in total?
75 in total.
So 51 before the 2000.
51 before that.
The
right?
reason so I'm saying that is
do
because.
Do a little bit of math. Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain. Oh, out of 51 60-point games, Wilt Chamberlain had 32.
Jesus, absolute Christ.
His name is just littered all over that, including a game where he scored. Hang on a minute, 100.
Well, he in the top 10 ones, he's got five of them. He's 50% of them. It's absolutely ridiculous. Like his, yeah. I was saying to you before, not that he doesn't get mentioned enough, but he gets mentioned in scoring titles. But goddamn, no one could stop him. Really, no one could stop him.
Yes, it was at all. And that's well, yeah. Obviously, that's an era of the NBA where, yeah, he wasn't the tallest guy, but in that era, he was the tallest guy. Yeah,
yeah.
Six foot nine, whatever Wilt was, but he was just built. He was just built like a tank. He's built like players now. And that was in the 60s.
What I found interesting when I was looking at this up is out of all those, there's only two games, two 60-point games that were in the playoffs, just two.
Well, Michael's one of them.
Who's the other one? And this was in a playoff final too, remarkably.
Ooh, give me a year.
61, 62. So that's
Christ's sake. So it's Will Chamberlain.
No, well, it's not Will, but it's who the other. I was to say it's either Will or the other person.
Elgin Baylor?
Exactly right. Elgin Baylor. Another player that, right, again, another player I think doesn't get talked about.
No, I would say he
very
is
underrated.
Mentioned enough.
You know, very, very, very underrated player.
Oh,
you know,
man. He was Showtime at the Lakers before Showtime Lakers.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Magic said that.
Game, man, his game was so totally different to anything that the league had seen, and for a long time too.
Yeah, yeah, he played 14 seasons and he made 12 playoffs. Like that's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. 11-time champ, unfortunately, never won an NBA title. So,
the ABA titles.
What about on the flip side? I mean, obviously they snuck in the seventh. Jaylen Brown, unfortunately, getting a season-ending sort of injury.
Yeah, look, I think it's a wrist injury. So yeah. That's to me that's catastrophic.
It's his left wrist. It's not the point. You still.
No, it still doesn't matter. That's season-ending wrist injury. I think it's too much for
that team.
Tatum and supporting cast. You know, you got Marcus Smart, Kemba Walker. Yeah, those guys. Kemba Walker has been extremely inconsistent this year.
Oh my god, yeah, hasn't he? What? I don't, except for Tatum and Brown, I don't get that team at all.
No, it's very very hodgepodge. I didn't really believe a whole lot in the Celtics to start with, because when you've got a superstar, and he is a superstar, in Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown come along in leaps and bounds again this year.
Yeah.
I think he might have been a bit of a forgotten man in that most improved player, even from last year, because he was great last year, and I think he's improved again this year to push the Celtics. Like, the Celtics being a 500 team is good in a sense, but I think they themselves as a franchise thought they were going to be a whole lot better.
I think
Jaylen Brown injury has totally derailed them now.
I think and that had that expectation. We said when Kemba Walker went there, and Kemba Walker is starting to turn in what happened with Gordon. Like they just have a bad run with what happened with Gordon Hayward there.
Gordon Not Hayward, so much Isaiah he got Thomas, injured. Isaiah Thomas, like, yeah, but apart from that one season, yeah.
Isaiah Thomas, Kyrie
Isaiah,
Irving.
Isaiah Thomas was what, third in the MVP counting?
Yeah,
and he's just fallen off the face of the planet.
Kyrie Irving and throw another one in. He had that one good year, and then he went. Yeah, it's that. God, they're just.
Look, the thing when they fleeced Brooklyn out of all of those picks, what did they use them for? Like, they actually used them. Yeah. They didn't parlay them into, you know, an established superstar, which is what you're meant to do with those. They actually used those picks, and I heard somebody make this comparison. Yeah. The NBA is not the NFL.
No, that's exactly right.
You can be, inside the top 10 or the top 15 in the NFL and still get a very, very good player. In the NBA,
you could be you could even go further. You could go top 30 and get a good player in the NFL.
That's right. The NBA just doesn't work that way.
I'd scratch it at 15 or bust, and if you get one under 15, it's a crapshoot. But wasn't Jason? You're right. Wasn't Jason Tatum one of those picks? I thought from the 2017.
They totally fooled Philadelphia into thinking that, hey, we're going to take Markelle Fultz, so you better trade up to number one.
Right.
So you can take Markelle Fultz.
That's right.
And then they took him, then Boston went, we're going to take Jason Tatum, and that's who we wanted all along. So, the front office have done well in, you know, fooling and fleecing people out of their, out of their draft picks. I just don't think it's worked for them that they've actually used too many of those picks and not, like I said, not parlayed them into deals to try and get a bona fide superstar.
I think it's a front office thing for them. I think, I like Brad Stevens. I think as much
Danny
as everyone
Ainge
loves
is a good, Danny Ainge has yeah. showed that he's a good GM, but just but in this he, regard, I think they've got the ball. Maybe not. Well, was it this year he was crook or last year he was crook?
Last year.
Yeah. So. Yeah, maybe there's other things on
Brad,
his mind.
Maybe it's a whole it's a personnel change, not so much the players. You know, maybe it is they've kept Brad Stevens. Like, you know, this is one of the few teams that hasn't changed a general manager or a coach. Which generally, if the season goes bad, they've changed the players, kind of thing. If you know what I mean.
That's right.
So
look, I did like their pick of Aaron Naismith. I did like that because I 100% wanted him at New Orleans, but. It is what it is. But I really like that as a future, as a future star player for them. So, and not so much that they could sort of go into a rebuild, but they definitely need to retool and get some more complementary pieces for, and whether that's dealing Kemba Walker. Whether that's trying to ship him away and try and get a more complimentary piece for Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I think so. And it's funny you say that, because the next thing I wanted to talk about was the 2021 NBA draft order. Talking about pieces. So essentially, I'll list the first round and from 1 to 14 or 1 to 15, if we want to look at it that way, and then the rest is like...
I think the lottery, I think, is the first thing that's coming up. I think the lottery is actually on the 22nd of June. So, yeah. You know, a bit around a month away. So,
your draft order so far is Houston at 1, Detroit at 2, Orlando at 3, the Thunder, one of their 1,000 picks at 4, the Cavs at 5, the Warriors are from Minnesota at 6, the Raptors at 7.
Heavily We'll go into that in a second.
Yeah.
Lightly protected.
The Orlando Magic from Chicago at 8.
I think that's lightly protected as well.
It is lightly protected. I want to talk about Chicago later, actually. Just, yeah. The Sac Kings at 9. Although they did a good pick this year.
It's just a team in purgatory for so long in Sacramento.
Yeah, but I love their pick this year.
Halliburton was, what is he? He's in the running for rookie of the year. He won't get it, but he has been sensational.
A team like that, the GM.
They haven't made the playoffs in 13 years. It's the longest streak in the NBA.
Yeah, it's another mismatch.
Phoenix actually made it.
It's another mismatch of the team because you picked up Halliburton, who's a great pick, but you've also already got two backcourt guys.
No, you got De'Aaron Fox. That's what I mean.
They're not going to get rid of De'Aaron Fox.
No.
But so then what do you do with
Buddy Hield? That's right. They've got to try and find a way to make those two coexist.
I'll finish the list off because then your next is number 10, the Pelicans, the Charlotte Hornets at number 11, the Spurs at 12, Pacers at 13, the Warriors, another pick, at the 14. But in saying all that, a lot of conjecture is probably not the right word, but there's a lot of superlatives that are going into these this lottery pick, more than I've ever seen in so many other years.
I think because now we're starting to see the new latest thing in deals is pick swaps. We're going to start to see the fruits of those because they've been in play for a couple of years now in deals. Now they're actually coming to fruition. Now we're getting to the drafts where pick swaps are actually going to be a thing.
Do you like them, pick swaps? Because I don't mind them, personally.
I mean, I honestly don't think they're a massive bargaining tool, but I like the thinking behind it.
I like the thinking behind it, but I mean, maybe they are a bargaining tool because they seem
They're a bargaining tool, but I just don't think they carry a whole lot of weight unless they're pick swaps that are, you know, in the distant future, not in the immediate future.
No, well, that's true. So Houston enters the lottery at number 1. They have a 52% chance of remaining in the top 4, which is pretty high, really, at the end of the day for lottery.
They would be so unlucky if they dropped out.
And keeping that pick. If the pick somehow falls to number 5, the Thunder can then swap Miami's pick for number 18. For Houston's. So essentially that means the Thunder could essentially then get fifth and be in that top 4 as well, which they are at the moment.
Top 4. So that's the kind of luck, and that's what I think it is. That's the kind of luck that you're hoping for these deals, for these pick swap deals. Because New Orleans has got two lots of pick swaps from LA in the future.
Yeah.
So, and then when they're not a pick swap, then they just revert back to the next year's draft. Because you can't trade consecutive first round picks. I think that's one of the reasons why they started to bring in these pick swaps is because a lot of teams are sort of complaining about, oh, why can't I give away like 3 years worth of first round picks? You know, one after the other. The NBA put that rule in to say that you can't just go and you basically mortgage your future for now. So that's basically the rule now, where you can't make the deal for consecutive years first round picks. So that's why they start to throw in.
That's Stepien rule. They put that in place because of that owner, Ted Stepien, for the Cavs, who just traded away like so many picks. I think he traded away 10 picks or something like that, 10 consecutive picks or something like that. So they went, no, you can't do that. Yeah,
We need to stop this.
So the other ones, Minnesota enter the lottery at number 6. They have a 27.6 chance of moving up to the 3 and keeping their pick. Unfortunately, which is pretty low, unfortunately, if they don't, it goes then to the Golden State Warriors, which is, so basically, 74% chance that's going to go to the Warriors.
And I guess that's why the Warriors made that deal with Minnesota to trade away D'Angelo Russell to get that, because D'Angelo Russell had no real...
That was one of the worst trades.
He had no real value at Golden State, you know what I mean? Like, yes, he did this year, and they probably could have used him this year with Klay Thompson not being there, but they're still banking on their two franchise guys in, you know, the best shooting backcourt duo in NBA history. And that's, yeah, that's obviously not even a question. So I think they had the high draft pick this year. We talked about this earlier. Did they get the deals that they thought were fair compensation for the number 2 pick this year? And maybe they didn't. So that's why they kept it and picked James Wiseman.
See, they'll have, they might end up doing it this year, because if that, by all accounts, they'll probably finish, they'll probably keep that pick. If that's the case.
They essentially got 3 out of 4 chance.
They've got 2 top 14 picks, so they could essentially package that for a star player.
No, that's possibly right.
So
you could even, you could even get, you know, like it's the complementary pieces. And I guess, you know, the Golden State, I guess another forgotten man this year for them was Kelly Oubre.
Yeah.
You know, he's missed a bulk of the end of the season as well. So, you know, he could have definitely been, and he was pretty inconsistent this year too. He had hot streaks where he was good, and he had cold streaks like you wouldn't believe. I think there was games where he was going like 0 for 10, 0 for 11 from the field. It's like, oof, just a total stink fest. So I think that's a bit of an underrated, you know, part to the Warriors season. You know, I guess not panning out the way that they had planned, because they did make the deal to get Oubre in there to sort of help out Curry after they dished away D'Angelo Russell. But you would hope that the Russell deal will bear the fruits of the 6th pick in the draft, and they will get another, you know, sort of, I guess, some youth help for Clay.
It's either youth help or they get another possible.
That's right. Like I said, they package that away to try and get not so much super young, but they need to get, you know, a good young up and coming star.
Or they give both picks and someone else, and then go all in for Bradley Beal. He's only got one year left on his contract, because that's the thing I keep hearing all the time, or reading all the time.
Yeah, but where does Beal fit though? That means you got to play 3 guard sets.
I think you could push. I think Clay is easily could be a wing player. I think.
Oh, absolutely. You just give yourself the chance for teams to take advantage of you size wise.
And the coaches will do that. I get that. I understand that. But
Clay is an unbelievable perimeter defender.
He is. He really is. Yeah, he really, really is. So I just, I'm trying to, yeah, well, I'm, look, they keep those two. But we've said it before. I mean, we briefly looked at the, what they call the NBA mock sort of draft, and it's pretty much after the top 5 picks, it's daylight.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be a crapshoot after the top 5. Usually it sort of stretches to the 15, but it's going to be a crapshoot. there's five basically locked in players.
I don't even think. You know, I would think that it would finish at four. Like Jalen Suggs is going to be. I think he's going to be a star. And once you get past that, I don't think there's. Like you said, it's more about fit for the team rather than. Best available. It's going to be who fits well for our team.
Yeah, I suppose. That's true. I don't know. I mean, it depends how many mock drafts you look at, really. I mean,
I'm sure there'll be another couple before the draft in another month or so. So that's later on down the track.
The other bit that just with that the for the draft, Chicago Bulls enter the lottery pick at number 9. They have a 20% chance of moving up to the 4 and keeping their pick. Otherwise, it goes to the Orlando Magic. So the reason I wanted to bring that up is what happened to Chicago. Their whole reason and I like to trade for Vucevic was to make a run for it. And they really didn't make a run for it all. And they're probably going to lose this pick to Orlando. Most likely.
There's a very high chance that they'll lose this pick to Orlando. But that means they're not going anywhere then. There's no free agents clamoring and climbing all over each other to go to the Windy City anymore. It's like what the Lakers had a few years ago. It's like what the Knicks have had for the past 15 years, where they think that they can attract star free agents, they just can't.
There's no luster.
Go into the United Center and you look in the rafters and there's 23 and 33 hanging up there, but there's six championship banners, but it's just not, it's the prestige just isn't there anymore.
They have a good team. I don't mind their team. They're only one that's because he's up this year is Lauri Markkanen.
He has regressed a lot. Yeah, there was a lot of talk around him to be, you know, sort of the next big sort of, you know, big powerful.
He's
only
24. He feels like he's been in there for years. He's only 24.
Yeah, that's right, 24.
He looks like he's 15.
This is his fourth year.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks like he's 15, literally. So, I think he'd have to be the trade piece because I think, I mean, obviously you've got Vucevic. Zach LaVine is, well, clearly their future. I like Patrick Williams as well. That was their draft pick. I quite like Patrick Williams, to be honest. And Kobe White is there as well. So it's not too bad. I think Lauri Markkanen is just that. Yeah, basically, if someone sort of takes a shot at him thinking they can get something out of him because he was a seventh pick.
It could just be, you know, he needs a sea change. He just needs a change of scenery, and it might reignite his career. You know, and just a team that we were just talking about, you know, or a team where I think that he could fit is Golden State. Wow, like, there's no way you'd be trading those high draft picks for him, but...
But
the thing is, I think Chicago sort of still hold him in very high regard. So I don't think that they would let him go, you know, for a couple of bags of chips and a box of popcorn and maybe like a supersized Coke or something like that. They hold him in very high regard.
Would you do a straight swap with there? And I can't think of his name right now. But the center that they picked up at the number 2 pick. Do a straight swap.
I think Wiseman's got too high of a ceiling. I think
Wiseman's
he can get a lot.
Wiseman's 24 as well. That's why I just can't really believe Lowry's been in the.
I think Wiseman can turn into something good. I think they would like potential rather than reinvigoration. Do you know what I mean? There's no. You know, guarantee in any of those. You know, reinvigoration or a high ceiling. So, it's just. I think Markkanen could fit very well there, you know, maybe as a bench stretch four. You have Wiseman at the center, Draymond Green at the four.
And what do you give them, Wiggins or something like that?
That's a possibility. Yeah, you could.
I'm just trying to think what you'd have to
partner them up with.
And that's probably lining up contracts and everything like that.
Possibly. So, that's just a hypothetical. But we're just talking about.
Yeah.
You know, we're just talking about them, and I think that could be a really good fit for him. Like, you know, Andrew Wiggins is you know, they like, you know, you hear people say that he's a bit of a bust as a number one draft pick, but.
I don't think so.
I think he plays all right there at Golden State. He just gets overshadowed by Steph Curry.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's not a
bad player.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's had too much because he got the number one pick and because he was so lights out in college. I think he's had so much unnecessary pressure on him.
That's right, and he's been on a bad team, you know, in Minnesota for a while. So,
but he also scored well. It's not like he's that. In that Minnesota team, it's not like he played bad.
No, but that's the thing. He got paid like a star and a borderline superstar, and he didn't really live up to that.
Oh, I'm just reading another team that could go in for him, and that would just make him a European team, his buddy Dallas Mavericks.
Ooh. Yeah, but see, that's the thing. Like, you'd have to play Porzingis more at center then.
You'd have to. I don't think his
body can take that because he's still they are being so we've said it before this year, they're being so cautious with Porzingis. When are you going to unleash him? Like, when are you going to say it's got to be a mutual thing. It's got to be him saying as well, hey, I'm not quite right. And there's lots of times where, Porzingis misses two games with left knee soreness and things like that. So you've got to be like, man, when is he going to get healthy?
Where he can
play 70 games, 75 games.
I don't think he can ever get healthy. For the size he is and the weight that he has, I don't think he can ever get healthy at all. I really don't.
Those guys that just can't put on the bulk. Do you know what I mean? Like, you look at Anthony Davis now compared to when he came into the league.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's a huge difference.
He is thick now.
Jacked. Well, not jacked, but yeah.
He is big. He's big now.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, and Porzingis now, it just doesn't. He's just a skinny dude.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. I just
looked it up now. Wiggins averaged 18.5 points a game this year.
Yeah. But he gets overshadowed.
That's nothing to sneeze at all. No. If you're going to say that he's going to be your second option behind Steph Curry.
That's not a bad...
His career average is 19.5.
That's not a bad... See, if that was a straight swap, that's not a bad pickup for the Chicago.
No. And look, and that's what I mean. Andrew Wiggins has shown glimpses. You know, his best season, 2016-17, I guess. He had 23 points a game. Even last year, like when he first, before he got sent to the Warriors, he was averaging 22 points a game.
Mm.
So it just goes to show where the league has gone now, where somebody who can average 18.5. 19, 20 points a game can be almost regarded as a bum.
Basic, yeah. Yeah, no, that is true.
You're a bum. Yeah. Oh, you can't average two. You're only averaging 18, 19 points a game. You're a bum.
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, that is true. No, that's true. They'll get the money they want, but they won't.
It's just, I don't know. It's just the way that the league has sort of evolved over the last few years now of nobody gives a living shite about defense. It's just, let's just score, and it just becomes that narrative of like, yeah, if you're not a, you know, 22, 23, 24 point a night scorer, then you're a bum.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The one last thing I think I wanted to finish on, and we'll probably talk about this for a bit because it was 2 years worth, was the 2020-2021 Basketball Hall of Fame.
Oh, yes. So yes.
We'll start with 20. So the reason I'm saying 2020 is because obviously they weren't presented last year for obvious reasons.
Did you watch it? Did you watch any of the of this year's Hall of Fame ceremony?
Highlight. I mean, all the main highlights, obviously. The main highlights.
Watched a fair bit of this before attending Suncourt Stadium for Magic Round on Saturday, actually. But
The main 2020 people were, of course, I mean, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, and one Kobe Bryant. I mean, that was. I mean, there's other players. Don't get me wrong.
They're your headline acts, man. I thought was a good, you know, obviously a good inclusion there as well. Rudy Tomjanovich.
He
looks great.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, actually,
the Dream was up there sitting behind him. It almost looks like the Dream's older than him.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
I think the Dream had more grey hairs than him.
Yeah, that's true. But this year's Hall of Fame class was, it was pretty littered everywhere. And I'm talking even, you know, from females to males. I mean,
Lauren Jackson.
We'll go in alphabetical. So Rick Alderman. I've always liked Rick Alderman.
Rick Alderman. Unbelievable
Chris, Chris Bosh.
Man. He was always going to be there as soon
first
as he was
ballot Hall of Famer. Yolanda Griffith. And then, yeah, one Lauren Jackson. So,
Lauren Jackson, like, totally deserved, man. She was so dominant for that Seattle Storm team, man, and the WNBA, you know, for an Aussie to go to America and dominate the way she did was unbelievable. Multiple-time MVP, multiple-time champion. You know, put banners in the Key Arena, which is something that the Sonics couldn't do. Well, Sonics couldn't do for a long time.
Paul Pierce, again, like, that's, you know, that's an
that
obvious
for a given.
Now two-time NBA Hall of Fame is Ric Flair, is Bill Russell. He got in as coach, so he obviously got in as a player.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, he did too. That's right. He did too. Oh yeah, Ric Flair. You know, we sort of go off topic a little bit here. You know who else is a two-time Hall of Famer as well?
And which one are we talking?
In the WWE Hall of Fame.
Hogan.
Well, Hogan and Booker T as well.
Oh, because of Harlem Heat. Yeah, of course. Harlem Heat. Yeah. Yeah, Hogan because of NWO last year.
That's right. Yeah, that's right, because the NWO.
So basically, yeah.
Can they just hurry up and get people into arenas so we can say what we all should be rightfully saying is that Hall of Famer Mark Calloway. Can we do that? Is that the only reason why they haven't done it? Because they want people there. It's got to be.
This is way off topic, obviously. We got time to talk about it.
That's just me. That's the only reason. He's the greatest of all time. I don't care what anybody says.
I think he is. My question then is he going to be the only Hall of Fame person to go in? The only one?
Wow.
Why not? Literally, why not?
You've got to have people there. You've got to have, even if it's just the superstars.
I'm just saying.
There needs to be appreciation there.
So if it's just the superstars and he was the only inductee next year.
He could do an hour.
Oh, just with him. You can have people coming out. You can have decades of people coming out. So I don't think that'll happen. I think he wouldn't do that. I think he'd want to do it with other people personally. But
he would. But that's, yeah, he's the humblest of humble superstars. But
yeah, yeah, no, I agree.
That's super way off topic. But that's got to be the only reason. Like, there's no other reason that I can see why. Even when he was still wrestling at WrestleMania.
Well, the other one that it still hasn't been, and because I'm only going because of all the other Attitude Era people, is The Rock. He's not in the Hall of Fame.
No.
But all the other ones are, well, except for Hunter. He's another one, I suppose.
Yeah, but he's probably the guy that's making these decisions. Like, how goofy would that feel and go, oh, yeah, I think it's time for me. Yeah, me.
I suppose HBK is another two-time Hall of Famer. God, there's a few of them, isn't there? He's two-time.
Which means
We're way off topic here. So the other three were, I want to leave this guy last. Ben Wallace, but I want to talk about that one. Jay Wright and Mr. C. Webb, Chris Webber. Oh,
thank you.
Who was always, I mean, at the end of the day, we don't have to go into why, but he was always overlooked, so to speak, for a lot of years. For you know, controversy is probably the best way to put it. Ben Wallace. What do you think of Ben Wallace? Because I listened to a podcast about when this Hall of Fame come out and what they thought of Ben Wallace. But what do you think of him getting in the Hall of Fame?
I think he's well-deserved. Who wouldn't?
I think so as well. I 100% think so as well.
People want to go out there, oh, he only averaged, what, five, 6 points a game. What, so that's all we're looking at now? Like he only scored 5 points a game? He led the league in rebounds, what, four? Did he lead him 4 years on the trot or 4 years total? He led the league in blocks. He's a multiple-time defensive player of the year, an integral part in the Pistons' major boil over of winning a championship against the Lakers in 2004. Like it's to me, it's mind-boggling to think that people are questioning that selection for him to go into the Hall of Fame.
No, I agree. I think he definitely deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm just my conjecture of it is that if he's in it, I could honestly name four or five people right now that should be in it as well.
Oh, of course. So, yeah, there's no doubt about that there's going to be that talk about that if he gets in, then how come other people can't get in? I get that, but there's no way that he's not deserving. You know, he's five times all defensive first team.
Yeah.
Two-time rebounding leader, led the league in blocks, led the league in rebounding and blocks in 2002. Four-time defensive player of the year. Four. That's more than the Dream. That's more than Dikembe Mutombo.
He'll get in. He deserves to be in there. When I seen his name, and I'm not saying he shouldn't be in there, but there's certain names that came to mind. Went okay. So if he's getting in there, these other players should get in there. Chris Webber was one. Tim Hardaway should be there.
Absolutely.
Robert Horry should be there.
Oh man! But I think that's where this sort of went in the podcast that I listened to, which is totally different to yours. But that's where it came to is Robert Horry.
I reckon he's the greatest sixth man ever, and he knows how to win championships.
Big Shot Bob was it just because he was lucky enough to be on those teams? I don't think it's coincidence.
No, I don't think so.
Two championship with Houston. How many do you win with? He's won seven rings, right?
Yes.
So what did he win three with LA and three with San Antonio?
And two with San Antonio, yeah. And that just doesn't happen. Yeah, that just doesn't happen. Rasheed Wallace.
Rasheed should absolutely be there.
And the other one that I still can't work out. Still hasn't got in yet, and that is Mr. Sean Kemp.
Oh, I mean, for I guess sort of an era in the NBA where you know you want to talk about a bit of flair, and you know, look, he made an NBA Finals.
He did make an NBA Finals.
That's right. Him and Gary Payton, Percy Hawkins, and you know those guys, Sam Perkins, you know Frank Borkowski. Good grief, can't believe this.
He also made six NBA All Star teams. Too,
no, that's right. So. But you go in an era of flair and you know just gigantic dunks and putting people on posters. Yeah. That's the kind of era where that phrase came from. Not putting people on screensavers anymore, putting people on posters. Yeah. You know, you open up Slam magazine or you open up Jammin' magazine and there's a poster in the middle and it's Sean Kemp destroying somebody.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's Shaquille O'Neal, and that's a poster that I had up in my room, you know, in the mid-90s was Shaquille O'Neal in the All-Star game just absolutely annihilating David Robinson while Shaq was wearing his cool Reebok Shaqnosis that were extremely predominant in the picture, but just destroying him. I think it was in the 94 All-Star game. Just annihilated him. That was that post the dunk. But you can't go past that era and not mention Sean Kemp. You just can't.
I have a mate that isn't fully into the NBA and brought a Sean Kemp jersey because that's all that's the only player he loves in the, I mean, you know, in the entire NBA. I mean, he's got the old school vintage sort of one, but he just, the first name that always comes to his mind when we talk about NBA is Sean Kemp. And it's because of what you just said then.
And look, back in the day when we used to collect cards, we had a couple of guys that used to, you know, PC or personally collect Sean Kemp, because that's what I mean, because he just resonated, and he was one of those guys that was an eyeball popper, and he put eyeballs on screens and bums on seats because of the flair. I think the only thing that a lot of people sort of said about him, you know, and he was one of the first guys to come out of high school and be undrafted.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things that a lot of people sort of said about him, that he'll never really do a whole lot because he had, you know, smaller than the average hands. Like, he was like 6'10", but he had really small hands for somebody his size.
Yeah. Look, and the reason I'm circling back to Ben Wallace is he deserved to be in there. He was a 4-time defensive player of the year. I mean, again, that just doesn't happen.
Was undrafted. So, for him to be undrafted and come into the league and do these things with that, you know, like a lot of people want to say, working class team in Detroit, and to win a championship there, I think it's unprecedented.
Alvin Robinson's still in the NBA Hall of Fame. What the hell? I'm just looking at other names. But anyway. But Chauncey Billups?
Yeah, Mr. Big Shot. Yeah. Absolutely should be. Well, see, that's the thing, and that's another thing that this certain podcast that I listened to started saying. So if Ben Wallace has got to be in there, what about Rip Hamilton?
True. I mean,
is that a borderline Hall of Fame career?
Possibly. Yeah, that's possibly.
When Rip went to Chicago, like, he wasn't bad, but he was Rip Hamilton was a massive part of this Detroit team that had, what did they go to, 4 straight Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, they did. So,
yeah. Tayshaun Prince. I can't remember who was talking about him. I don't know if it was Richard Jefferson or if it was somebody that was associated with that team or been around that team a lot. They said Tayshaun Prince is one of the smartest cookies going around, as in basketball smarts. And you hear that term a lot, but, you know, it's that team, that era of Detroit Pistons basketball was just come out of nowhere.
No, yeah, it did. I mean, I think they'll all make it. It was just sort of names. And I think I only sort of circled Ben Wallace out purely because of his shortish sort of career. I mean, at the end of the day, he's an NBA title holder. He was a 4-time NBA defensive player, so he deserved to be in there.
I don't know if you want to say shortest playing career, man. He played 14 years in the league.
Yeah.
16 years in the league.
Yeah, but wasn't there a lot of those? There wasn't a lot of games in a lot of those seasons, I thought.
I think there was a lot. I think there was a little bit of, you know, obviously he had the hot streak with the Pistons and I think he fell off the cliff pretty quick after leaving the Pistons, but still got paid for another, like.
Oh no, I thought you were talking about the infamous Malice in the Palace kind of thing. So
and that's another thing that sort of got brought on, because there was a big topic on Detroit basketball. Can ESPN do a 30 for 30 on the Malice in the Palace? Are they qualified? And I'm not going to say that they're not qualified, but are they going to give you the real deep, dark, nasty? Because that's what people want. People don't want a documentary on the Malice in the Palace and, you know, to be a nice little, you know, mediocre. So people want the real info. People want the talk of what sparked it, what happened in the crowd. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, people want the real good stuff, and I don't think ESPN has the capabilities of doing that.
But do they have enough information was probably the other thing.
Well, it's like The Last Dance. Like you just got to take time.
Good point.
To do the research on it, and I think if that 30 for 30 gets done, that would be insanely popular because that was just at a time where I guess after that the league sort of transitioned into more of a softer type league where they sort of cracked down hard on. You know, on flagrant fouls and things like that. And you watch that clip on YouTube goes for like 11 minutes.
Although it would be, it would probably be good timing with the recent, we're trampling into the playoffs down the track, but the recent fans getting into it with players, so to speak, or annoying players, if that makes sense. So, the timing would be absolutely perfect, you know, in terms of...
Yeah, that is the ultimate,
because it's happening. Ultimate
of fan interaction with the players.
It's happening more and more.
No, but that's me. That's where you get idiot entitled fans that get a skin full of piss when they go to a game and they think just because that we've bought a ticket that we can just say yes, and do whatever the true. F we want. And it's just like, no, that's not the way society works. Do you know what I mean? Like they just think because they're just like, hang on a minute, we're not behind our keyboard anymore. There's going to be real consequences here if you do stupid crap at a game.
That's done me for the rest of this. That's my problem. Skin full of piss.
That's what it is.
Done me. Yeah, I know. Oh, that's done me. I love it.
Yeah, they go there and then they realize, oh, there's not a screen in front of me like me and you right now. There's like real actual human beings there, and there could be real consequences.
Yeah,
and that's mean. All you got to do is have a look at that. Have a look at that. I think it's like an 11-minute clip of the full Malice in the Palace fouls.
I watched it 3 weeks ago. I remember because I was thinking, I don't know why I watched it, but it just might have come across on like your recommendation.
I think it's one of those clips where you could like you know just get a nice refresher every year. Just to sort of keep it fresh in the memory, because it's just you don't think it's real.
No, you don't think it's real.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, some of the shots. Oh my god, some of the shots.
There's dog shots. Players getting hit from behind.
Yeah, but who is the one that got hit from behind, and then one of the NBA players come over and like just slid and smashed him? I was trying to think. I don't know if it was
Steven Jackson or
it wasn't Steven.
Somebody. Oh, it might have been not Jamal Tinsley.
No, I need to look this up.
There's one where a fan actually comes onto the court and shapes up to Jermaine O'Neal.
That's the one I'm thinking.
Yeah, Jermaine O'Neal just drops him.
Yeah, he drops him.
That's but one then, of the best bits of it. He shapes then, up to him, and then Jermaine O'Neal is, what, 6'10"? And he just looks at him and goes, what the hell are you really coming at me? And he just pops him on. It's great.
But then... someone then come out run our test, and then you see Jermaine O'Neal coming again, sliding in and then hitting a fan. It was
even up in the stands. There's dog shots.
There was. I mean, run our test went for the wrong person in the first place, which is absolutely ridiculous. That wasn't the person.
What's he meant to do?
Hey,
what's he meant to do?
Oh, I know.
He have a look up at the big screen and wait to see who's the guy who poured the beer on him.
I love it if they threw
the beer at him. And to say that, yeah, you don't want to condone any of this, but the guy who threw the beer, guaranteed he was aiming for Ron Artest, and he hit him.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, if he is a crap throw, or if he's had a skin full of piss, how lucky is him to even get the throwing of the beer straight? Yeah, let alone to hit the player that's laying on the scorer's table.
Yeah, that's true. Imagine if they did do a 30 for 30 and then those fans were on the 30 for 30. They somehow got the interview.
Somehow find the fans.
Yeah, that's possible.
Well,
Kid Rock was there. Remember that?
Actually, I think I do. Yeah, the kid was there.
He was there. He was there with Chris Sabella, or Chelios, the hockey player.
KID.
He probably had a first ringside seat clearly at it. So,
he could have, yeah. See, that's the thing. You can just see they can do a total deep dive into it. I reckon, you know who would probably be the best to do that is the guys that do on Viceland and do Dark Side of the Ring.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, yeah.
I was listening to Talk Is Jericho, and we're really getting off topic here. I was listening to Talk Is Jericho and doing like podcast and doing an interview with those guys who have just done season 3 of Dark Side of the Ring, and the stories, because they just got to keep adding more stories on. I think they're doing 12 this season, so they're doing more and more each season goes along. And yeah, some of the that they talk about the info that they get. It's they are unbelievable though, that series. I reckon they would be the perfect guys to do to dig into that, because it's not the most flattering thing to ever happen to the NBA, but I think they would be they've got that credibility now that they would be able to get, I think, good people to interview.
Yeah, it'd be fun. Nearly all the players got suspended in that game. Even Reggie Miller got one game for that. So I
forget that Reggie was even there. I think the guys. Yeah, what are the guys? That, Evan Hunsey, Husney, and Jason Eisner. That's the two guys that are the producers of it. And yeah, it's they've just got the street cred now for those, you know, for doing these documentaries, doing them well, and doing the research.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Like, you know, their first series, it was really hard for them because nobody really wanted to talk to them, so they had to do stories where they didn't have to do a lot of interviews with people, and then all of a sudden, that first season has come out, and they're like, oh wow, these guys are really good. So now they're starting to dig into other, you know, other stories and you know, things that's, you know, the latest one that's come out now is the Dynamite Kid, like, yeah, the very first one after they did the first season, which only lasted six episodes. The very first one they did in season 2 was Chris Benoit.
Oh yeah, well there you go. Yeah,
that would have been, yeah, really. That's just something that's got to be, yeah, that's got to be watched. If you're not a fan of wrestling, like, to see behind the scenes, they take you behind the curtain, they strip away, you know, the line that comes up a lot in kayfabe, they tear those walls down, and you get the real accounts of what, you know, what the wrestling business is, and, you know, the tragedy of it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, that'll do it. I mean, for the NBA/WWE pod, we might have to do one day, but anyway, don't forget, obviously, we've got our socials out there. We've got Twitter at Final Play Pod, and also in Facebook, Final Play Podcast. Would probably looking at, I mean, obviously we've got the NBA, we're starting to get into the NBA playoffs, so have you got a little bit of preview you want to talk about with the NBA, with the teams?
Look, I guess we could sort of, yeah, quickly sort of squeeze through the final standings, I guess, and mm-hmm. and what's going to be what. So the Eastern Conference is 1v8, which is Philly and Washington. I don't think there's a whole lot really to sort of get into when it comes to Philly and Washington. That should be pretty straightforward. Maybe Philadelphia might drop a game. Yeah, Westbrook mm-hmm. and
he'll get hot
for one. I don't think so either. I think that'll be total and utter domination. But well, yeah, what do you think about that series?
Yeah, I think that's total and utter domination. I don't think Washington have an answer for Joel Embiid. So that's I don't see them.
Not a lot of teams have an answer for Joel.
No, they don't. But they definitely don't. Washington definitely don't. So, well, okay, we'll keep going. Then Brooklyn, I go up against Boston. So that's 2 vs 7.
I don't think too many people have got answers for the trio of stars that they've got there. Like, that'll be I don't know. Maybe Boston could steal one, but I highly doubt that will be a very competitive series. I think Brooklyn, now that they've got all three superstars, I guess relatively healthy, whether or not they're of, you know, sound body and mind. Kyrie Irving sort of been a little bit sort of spacey, shall we say, in recent weeks. But once those three get locked in, I think virtually impossible to stop.
Yeah, I agree. I'm still holding that they'll make the finals, but I mean they'll most likely come against. I mean, that's going to be a good series. The next one, if Milwaukee up against the Heat, I don't think that'll be a good series. I said I think Milwaukee are on a very, very high streak and have a very big chance of progressing pretty easily. But if they do, you know, Brooklyn and Milwaukee, that's going to be red hot.
That'll be excellent. I think this should be a fairly competitive series. You know, they had a pretty good series last year, the Heat and the Bucks. Obviously, the Heat sort of knocking off the Bucks last year, you know, in the restart in Orlando. A little bit sort of different kettle of fish this year. And we said, the Heat finished the season pretty well. So they would be coming into this 3-6 matchup as, that would be full of confidence. But it'll just be, a matter of whether or not the Bucks will sort of have that little bit of a chip on their shoulder, a little bit of revenge on their mind after last year, after being dumped out of the playoffs, where they thought that they rightfully deserved to be in the NBA Finals, and the Heat took that away from them. So this should be I really like this. I think this will be an awesome series.
I think the next one's going to be an awesome series.
The Knicks and the Hawks, if it doesn't go seven, I'll be very disappointed.
It will go seven. I'll be very disappointed if it doesn't go seven. I mean, you've got, hasn't it quickly turned around with that New York bandwagon and you see everything New York?
Oh, my God. They're unbelievable. Like, if you watch First Take It All, like, they've got some of the most unbelievable bandwagon fans, the Knicks. They're like the Dallas Cowboys fans, like, you know, Cowboys fans are delusional anyway. Like that, that's me. Stephen A. Smith hates Dallas Cowboys fans.
We are delusional. I'm not going to.
They're extremely delusional.
But then
Knicks fans, that's me. Knicks fans just come out of like as soon as they've got a little bit of, you know, a little bit of a good run and everything, all of a sudden all the rats with Knicks hats, you know, that look like Master Splinter, all start coming out of the sewers and go, we're Knicks fans. Yeah, hey, look at us. And look at me, wearing my New York Knicks t-shirt right now, trying to represent the Knicks. But they come out of everywhere, man. And it just, you want to see Madison Square Garden rocking.
The only one that really is always there every single time is the
Spike Lee.
Yeah. And he'll I think he's traveling to Atlanta as well. He'll be traveling to Atlanta with them. So, who do you reckon will win that?
I want to take a little bit of bias out of it, but I think it's a pick 'em. I really do. I think Atlanta have been unbelievable since the firing of oh my God, I can't even think of his name now. It's Lloyd.
Yeah,
I can't think of his name. Anyway, now that Nate McMillan has taken over, probably should have rephrased it that way. I think they've only lost 10 times. I think they're like 24-10 or something like that.
We thought that was a terrible firing, we were saying, and it ended up being a stroke of genius. So, I tend to think Atlanta's got.
I think it's a pick 'em, but I would not count it out that Atlanta could win.
No. But I think Atlanta has better depth. To be completely honest, I think they. I mean, I think it'll go to seven, but I think that they'll just have enough firepower, Atlanta. Just that. I mean, again,
Lloyd Pierce. Sorry, Lloyd Pierce, if you're listening, Lloyd Pierce.
But then, I mean, they'll come up against Philly. So I think Philly's got the easiest run of the finals. It's ridiculous, to be completely honest. So.
No, that's right. Then they'll have to take on whoever wins out of the Knicks and the Hawks. And I think that, yeah, like you said, both of those will not have answers for Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Oh, so I think that's and then it'll just be a matter of if Brooklyn makes it through. You think it's more of a like you said, that 2-3, if that's the way it goes in Brooklyn and Milwaukee, will be one hell of a series.
Oh, big time. That'll be huge.
If the Knicks win a playoff series, man, New York will be a light. And I think that will absolutely, I don't care what anybody says, absolutely overshadow anything that the Brooklyn Nets do across the
100%.
Bridge. 100%. It is what it is. It's a Knicks town. It's a Yankees town.
The Mets
and the Nets can do whatever the hell they want. It's a Knicks town. It's a Yankees town.
Oh, that's right. It's always like that.
It's always been like that.
And then the other one, I think it's still a Jets town, and then the Giants town, and that's the other one as well. If you're looking at NFL,
oh, that's right. And that's the thing. They basically got two. They got two of everything, you know. They've got the New York Islanders and they've got the New York Rangers. But I think it's definitely
Rangers
will be a lot more dominant in the fans than what the Islanders would be. But it's if the Knicks win a playoff series, and this should be a super even series. So it'll be whatever Julius Randle can do versus whatever Trae Young can do.
They'll go up, and then if they do, they'll go up against a very close neighbor in Philly too. So that'll be huge. That's in right. itself. So on the west side, your 1v8 is Utah versus Memphis.
Look, Memphis sort of, I guess, coming in with a little bit of momentum, but I don't think Utah will be troubled too much by them. So. Donovan Mitchell has been slated to return for the playoffs, so once he comes back, it might take him a couple of games to sort of get into a little bit of a rhythm, just due to the amount of time that he's missed. But I don't think if that Memphis will trouble Utah too much.
The second versus seventh is Phoenix, unfortunately, coming up against the Lakers.
And very much unfortunately, because you just. You got to say goodbye to Phoenix. I'm sorry. I don't think they're going to be able to do it.
I feel for them. I do. I really feel for them. That's such a hard.
Well, when you want to say when we said earlier that that teams like Denver and the Clippers were sort of ducking and dodging to sort of to get away from LA. It's smart.
It is smart. Yeah, it really is smart. Yeah.
Why would you want to get into a dogfight into a 7-game series in round one when you've got championship aspirations, especially if you're the Clippers?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's definitely true.
Because I guarantee if the Clippers, if it was the Clippers and the Lakers, I guarantee the Lakers would win. No doubt.
Of course they would have.
Denver would be, I think, a little bit more tougher for them. And, I still think Phoenix will be a tough. Will be a tough out.
Well, Denver's got to get past Portland too, because that's the other one. I don't know. No,
that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's going to be a red hot series.
Because again, they're still missing Jamal Murray.
Well, they won't get Jamal Murray back this year.
No, of course not. I don't know. I could go.
They're all front court.
Denver. Yeah. Yeah.
Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, and Jokic.
Yeah. When the
all
other
the
ones,
big guns are all up front.
All the other ones.
Which
one,
is very rare to see these days.
And the other one's all backcourt.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. It's just two backcourt. Yeah, that's right.
So I'd say Denver, just very slightly. Very slightly. And then the last one is the Clippers and Dallas.
This should be, I think this would be like the Knicks and the Hawks. I think this will be hotly contested. I think this will be a great series too.
If Dallas get past the Clippers, the Clippers, I think, are done again for another 20 years. Literally. I think that's it.
Do
I do.
Do they try and run it back again with PG and Kawhi Leonard and try and retool PG, again. I don't know.
PG is the only one that signed.
That's right. Yeah, Kawhi Leonard could be out the door.
Kawhi Leonard could be going anywhere. We don't know where Kawhi Leonard's going at the moment, by the way. So, but I'm telling you now, if they
you'll never know because he don't say nothing.
He doesn't say nothing. If they don't beat Dallas in this, or if they don't make the finals, the NBA, like they're not the full NBA finals, but if they don't make the Eastern Conference Finals. Western Conference, sorry. I reckon they're done for 20 years.
I think it's through no fault but their own.
Yeah, of course. Of course it is.
Rest here. Yeah, playoff P, rest there. Kawhi Leonard, rest here, rest there. You lose those games. Mm. They're crucial, and that's where it comes into that the regular season matters. You can't just take games off. Every win counts. If they win some of those games that, you know, if Kawhi Leonard, you just manage minutes. You do you sound like an old man again, but you do it how they used to do it in 20, 25 years ago. You don't just take the game off. You give them less minutes.
Yeah, you do. No, I totally
even
agree.
If you just play them 20, 22 minutes or something like that, they still have a stamp on the game. You still give your team the best possible chance to try and win in those 20 to two, yeah, whatever it is, 25 minutes. Instead of running players into the ground, playing them 30 plus 35 minutes in those games, and then all of a sudden the game's gone, and then you bench them. No.
The only conjecture of it is that it worked, obviously, with Toronto. And that's probably the only conjecture of why they're doing it, at least with Kawhi, that it did work in Toronto.
When is he ever going to be healthy? It's like Kristaps Porzingis.
I don't think he'll ever be healthy.
I don't think he ever will be either. This is just who he is. If you sign Kawhi Leonard, it's for 60 games of the regular season.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just boggles the mind that he still wants premium, superstar caliber money.
Which he will get.
Of course he will. Somebody's going to pay that, but you're only going to get 60 games out of him because he's going to dictate to you when he plays or not.
That's exactly right.
And then you're in the situation now where you finish in the fourth seed. Nothing's guaranteed.
They're
one of the deeper teams in the league, and they run into a Dallas side who's got Luka Doncic, who's had last year's playoffs experience to get better. You hope that Kristaps Porzingis can live up to anything for what his potential is. You have guys like Jalen Brunson. Do you know what I mean? Like they've got Tim Hardaway Jr. They've got a fairly good squad. It's not uber deep, but they've got the guys that, and you've got Luka Doncic, who can take a game away from you extremely quickly.
If
he gets rolling, you are in trouble if you can't match it.
He amazes me. I mean, you got Maxi Kleber's playing pretty well this year too. So
yeah, that's right. So they've got Willie Cauley Stein. They've got guys that are big guys and that are pretty good defenders as well.
Luka to me is your, just to finish on this actually. Luka to me is your modern day Larry Bird, for the fact of I think because Larry was one of those players that could possibly play any position, like Luka.
Does he call his own shots?
Luka?
Probably. Larry used to call his own shots. But Larry would stand there and tell you what he's going to do before, while the ball's being inbound, and they still couldn't stop him.
But the thing I think I liked for the reason I think was the similarity is that Luka and Larry can literally slow the game down to their own pace and then quicken it up to their own pace. It looks like he's going slow, I've never seen someone like Luka as to Larry Bird that can control the whole game.
He's got such unbelievable court vision as well.
His biggest thing is he needs to watch his mouth. He needs to stop whinging all the time.
I think he does. Yeah, I think he sort of does throws the hands up a lot. I think he likes to sort of talk and
I think he thinks
he deserves those quote unquote superstar calls. And he's been in the league for how long?
Yeah. No, he doesn't.
I think he knows he's the future And I think he's sort of, you know, trying to preempt and to try and get in people's, you know, try and get in referees' heads and go, oh, yeah, you know, hey, you know, I'm a superstar. I should be getting that call when they brush across my facial hair and that's a foul. Or they brush me across the left elbow, which doesn't affect my shot at all, but I should still be getting that call.
Yeah, I listened to a podcast with Dirk, actually. Was it an interview with Dirk Nowitzki? And he just said, yeah, that was one thing he said that he needs to do. He said it's a typical, because he did the same thing. He said it's a typical European thing of just arguing every call.
And he's been playing professional since he was, what, 16?
So, but he is the absolute future of the NBA. Like, man, I love, and the, what he, you know, to get to fifth just by him, like, really, at the end of the day, who else is in that team? Really? I mean, you could say Kristaps, but who else is in that team to get to fifth place?
No one.
Yeah. It's Luka. Imagine if he had one star with him, like actual.
Well, that's the point. That's the point. They wanted that to be Kristaps Porzingis.
Well, I imagine it's for someone else. I don't know. It's just, oh my God, if he could have one star, it would be absolutely
unlimited potential.
And then, you know, El Sacramento could have had him.
Well, that's right.
Oh my God,
Atlanta could have had him.
This is the inept. Yeah, but Sacramento was the first. They could have had him, and
they had second pick. They picked Marvin Bagley.
Yeah, but they could have.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just the ineptness of both of them.
That's a game changer.
Yeah.
For Sacramento.
Yeah. Just the ineptness of that team. But anyway, I mentioned all our socials and where to get all our pods. I'm signing off because I'm still laughing on the inside. My name's Jason. Skin full of piss, Smith. that is the best.
I've had a skin full of piss plum, but
yeah, but you have.
It's been a very weary day. So before we go, Eastern Conference tip, Western Conference tip for the finals. Hit me.
Okay, well, I'm gonna say, obviously I have to say the Lakers for the Western. Have to.
Of course you do.
Of course I do. Why wouldn't I? It can happen. It can happen again. Eastern?
The top three teams in the East, I think are all very even.
That's who I'm going through in my head. Which out of those three am I picking? Nah, I'm not going for them. I think.
Who's that, Brooklyn?
Yeah, I'm not going for them. I don't know. I think the Bucks.
Ooh.
I think they'll just have enough. I think it'll be them and the Sixers in the finals, and I think they'll just have enough. And they'll be outsiders of those three. Don't get me wrong, yeah. But
to me, I still think Brooklyn gets there because if Brooklyn, even in this next series, Brooklyn goes up against Milwaukee, you've got three superstars. So you have Giannis run around after KD. You have Drew Holiday run around after whoever it is, Kyrie Irving or James Harden. You can't run around after both. So that means you're still going to have one bona fide superstar with an ordinary defender on him.
Yeah. I mean, really, we probably should technically be saying the 76ers, because I don't think any of those two teams are ever going to have a chance against Joel Embiid.
No.
So really, we should both be saying that, but I still think
Brooklyn's got too much firepower.
Yeah, I don't know.
If they click throughout these playoffs, I don't even know if anyone in the West will be able to beat them.
And who do you think will make it for the West?
I mean, as much as I don't want to say LA, I think it is still probably going to be the Lakers. I really want to see Utah live up to their potential.
I think
I could see a Utah
Lakers final.
Lakers.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I could definitely see that.
The problem will be then is who runs after Donovan Mitchell? It's got to be LeBron, right?
I don't know. Dennis Schroeder's been playing pretty good in this back end of this season.
He's not going to be able to lock up.
He's probably not going to be able to lock up LeBron, but, I mean, again, then, you know, AD, okay, AD up against, they could just go big man again. They could get that AD against Gobert, and then, you know.
That's where the problem lies, because AD can actually shoot the jumper, and that means Gobert has to come out to him.
And you could put Drummond in there, and then just who the hell's going to drive, you know, all three of them at once. Who the hell's going to guard Drummond? Well, really, who the hell's going to guard LeBron? Really?
No, exactly. That's right.
Mitchell's not going to. Ingles sort of can, but probably won't be able to.
This is too slow.
Like, there's no one going to be able to guard LeBron. That's the other thing.
That's the problem.
So
that's what I mean. That's why, as much as I want to, I'd like to say Utah could make it there. I just it all just comes down to if LeBron can stay healthy, if he doesn't have any sort of, you know, underlying injury problem or anything of that as the playoffs go on. It's hard to see anyone stopping him.
But then again, if that's the case, no one's going to be able to stop if it's Brooklyn, LA, no one's going to be able to stop AD in that side.
No, but who's going to stop KD? Well, Kyrie KD and James Harden. No, you're not going to be able to lock them up.
No, that's
KD's going to be able to score. AD's not going to lock up Kevin Durant. No way.
KD's not going to lock up who?
No, Anthony Davis will not lock down Kevin Durant. Not a chance.
No, I don't think so. That means you got to put
you maybe have to put LeBron on him. Yeah, LeBron's not quick enough to deal with what KD can do.
Yeah, it's both ends. You're right, and then you still got two superstars. But then who's going to lock up AD?
You shut Kevin Durant down. Oh, okay, cool. Well, we'll just have a two man game in Kyrie Irving and James Harden. Then
It's the same on the other end. You lock down. I say Kevin Durant locks down AD. Who the hell's going to guard LeBron or vice versa?
That's right, exactly.
So it's probably going to be like the NBA Finals. If it's those two, it's probably going to be 160 point NBA All Star game.
Yeah, it's going to be tit for tat, and 140 plays 138.
Oh my god. And who wins then?
Yeah, it'll be like an All Star game score from the 90s.
And who wins then? I still think the Bucks can make it, but and I'm going to say the Lakers, obviously. But
if it's the Bucks and the Lakers, I think that's definitely a pick'em. I think that'd be a 7-game series.
You really sound like you think Brooklyn could win it all.
I think they can.
Fucking hell! Oh no,
It's not gonna. Anything short of a title for Brooklyn is not gonna matter.
Well, that's true. That's true.
The reason they got those guys.
Yeah, that's true. 1 year.
I just think that 1-2-3 punch is just too hard to stop.
If they did it in their first year, that's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Literally. It can happen. Yeah, no, I can buy into it a little bit, but God.
Unfortunately, I think I am bought into it because you can just see what those guys do in the 8 games that they played together throughout this season. It's just, I think it's too overwhelming.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. If all three of them get locked in, that's big trouble for whoever they play.
Oh, no. It's going to be who can guard the big men on both ways you go.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the thing. I think the only chance that somebody would have is Philadelphia.
Is Philadelphia.
Just bash them down low.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And who wins then? So you think Brooklyn?
I'd lean towards Brooklyn. And that's such a boring pick, but I'd lean towards Brooklyn. I think the only chance of getting beaten is Philadelphia.
I will say a Brooklyn-LA final will be pretty fun.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
It'll be very fun. You may be basically watching an all-star game, close to an all-star game. Really.
I'd really like to see the Mavericks make a push through, but I guess.
Nah, we'll see. I think they haven't got enough. They're still their problem. All right. Have a good week, everyone.
All right. Have a good week, everybody. Enjoy the playoffs, and we'll have more predictions once each round, each playoff round is over. We'll give you a little bit of a roundup of each round after they're finished. So stay tuned for those. All right. See ya.